Moving to paper two.
Yeah, there are two papers for this discussion, paper two and paper 2A. And while I am doing the, I'm leading into these, I just wanted to make sure you know that Shane Kahanek, who's on the screen over there, was the primary author of paper two. It's just easier for me to do it from here. And for paper 2A, Jill Switter, who became a mother a few weeks ago, was the author of that paper. We didn't put her here as a contact because we didn't want to give you her home phone number.
I'm disclaiming.
I'm just doing the talking. Paper 2A is about the pre-ballot draft, and we've already discussed the comments with you, and there are some suggestions in there about what we might want to do if you want to pursue that approach. But that's not the real question about how to pursue that approach. The question is really in paper two, which is which approach do you want to pursue? We have identified all the alternatives we could think of, which are five. There would be, assuming we are going to go forward, well, that's not even an assumption. That's one of the alternatives. The first alternative would be to go back to a narrower view of equity. And there are at least two ways we've already tried, and there are probably others we could identify. The basic ownership approach, approach 4.0, and I think Tatsumi has a suggestion for a third version of a narrow view. We haven't been very successful in trying to work to a narrow view, so we have some other alternatives here. B would be to amend IAS 32 for the issues that are viewed to be the most concern and adopted in the U.S. Now, from the standpoint of the IASB, that's not very different from C. From the standpoint of the FASB, it's very different. C, the alternative C, would be some targeted improvements to be done one at a time on convertible debt, putable instruments, redeemable instruments, would be the second one. And then the third, if you decide to go that far, would be some work on fixed for things other than convertible debt. Fourth alternative would be to just defer this for the time being. I realize you've got plenty of extra time and you really don't need to defer it, but you might consider that I'm just joking and that, in fact, there's plenty to do without doing this. The last alternative would be to continue with the pre-ballot draft approach, and paper 2A is basically designed to convince you not to do that. Our analysis, the staff would say that basically alternative A we've tried, and that hadn't gone over well. We're not really recommending you take steps back, though. At least some of the staff members still support a narrower view. As I say, alternatives B and C are both to amend IAS 32 from your point of view. I think the question would be, do you do it all at once and have the FASB adopt IAS 32, or do you take one thing at a time? And the third alternative of taking one at the time has the advantages of actually finishing one thing at the time and not letting one thing slow the other down. We have provided in this paper some suggestions about how you might go about dealing with bifurcation of convertible debt and about accounting for putable shares. Those aren't the only possibilities, and the purpose of this is not to have you approve one of those approaches. We're only trying to get to determine which general approach you want to take. And the last two, I don't think I really need to say much more about. Deferring would be a reasonable option, given that you do have a few other things, and the pre-ballot draft approach is pretty well explained in 2A. If you have any questions about what's in 2A, I'd be willing to address them, but I didn't feel like we needed to go through them in great detail. So with that, I'd turn it over to you to see what you think. Wait, let me tell you one more thing. We had an information and education meeting with the FASB last week to discuss these same two papers. They were not prepared we didn't ask them to make a decision in the education session. We were going to go back to them in 2 weeks and ask for a decision at that date, but the board canceled that meeting. We aren't going to get a decision from them until you either make a decision or we get together in a joint meeting and make a decision there. Well, one, I think we had 5 alternatives and there were 6 different views. I'm kidding. No one really suggested continuing with the pre-ballot draft approach. Deferring didn't seem very popular either, though nobody really said, I absolutely refuse to do that. There was some support for adopting IS 32. As you know, one of the board members has been supporting that all along, but I think it's still just one that's really very enthusiastic about that. A couple would have said, we want to do the targeted improvement approach. One of those, unfortunately, isn't going to be on the board after the end of this month. And then there were 2 others who really support a narrower view of equity. But they were not able to persuade anyone else at that meeting that the narrower view was right.
Can I ask a question? She's not going to be able to hear me. If in looking at C, it seemed to me. We do the little targeted things. How would we ever get this fully harmonized, fully converged, and when? Because to me, it's open-ended.
Yes, it is.
And so from that perspective, I prefer B, unless there was some way that I could see that there's some closure around C.
Well,
I also thought that a lot of the reason we were doing this was to converge rather than we got the wrong answer in what we have. And so I guess one other question, and you indicated in here some of the concerns about B, what we have. Did you do that fatal flaw thing?
We did do as you suggested.
Get 600 or less?
Well, we didn't ask for written comments. We did this one by phone. There was, I can't say there was any enthusiasm at all for adopting IS 32 in the U.S. for the reasons you might expect, that it's not specific enough. People would think we would continue to need the guidance in 0019 and 075. In other words, whether you have enough equity to settle and about the anti-dilution provisions and that sort of thing. So people did not view it as an advantage to do that at all. I don't think anyone that we talked to would have favored it. Now, some were against it more than others. Some didn't mind it too much. But to address your point on convergence, if we were to address the convertible debt and harmonize that, and we were to address putables and mandatory redeemables and harmonize that, then the differences that would remain would be that IS 32 is much less specific on when you have control over settling by shares. But the requirements aren't different. They're just not as specific. And the other 2 things that I know of that would be different would be, one, mandatorily redeemable preferred shares would be different. Not mandatorily convertible preferred shares, those that are converted into common. I can't remember the details now, but the other one would be the gross up of the put. Those would be the 2 remaining differences. Even though the standards are written very differently, we did an analysis of the various instruments, and those were the 2 that stuck out as being different.
Is it possible to start with what we have, identify, given what you just said, here's some things we need to work on.
Right.
But the rest of this looks kind of the same. If we started with what we have and we said, here are 5 areas, 6 areas that we need to address, at least we're starting from a common underlying, if you will. So to me, that has an advantage where I could see closure.
Mm-hmm.
And on C, it just seems open-ended. Is that
And you are correct that we would then have the same words. Based on our discussions with people, I'm not sure we'd get the same answers.
But that, to me, is one of the things we ought to tee up in terms of why. And how do we close that?
I can tell you part of the why. One of the firm's books that explains how to apply IS 32, and this is an area we're going to hopefully fix, but it's not unique to this area. One explains four different ways that you could appropriately bifurcate convertible debt. I don't think the ISB had in mind there being four different ways, but if you could find that in just one country, I'm not sure what you'd find in.
In interpreting our literature?
Yeah.
Okay, well, to me that's good to know. And it may be we would say they're all okay, or there's only one method.
And I haven't tried to analyze which one was appropriate. I'm just suggesting that I don't really think you meant to leave four ways open.
Okay, one. Yeah. That's all right.
I actually agree with what John said, Ron. I think that seems to me to be the best line of action at this stage. The approach that's got the greatest chance, I think, of us achieving something reasonable in a relatively short period of time. You didn't mention, or did you, fix for fixed?
That would be, well, that isn't really an issue in the U.S. right now. And the reason isn't because we have 0019 and some other things that deal with many of the questions you have, and some of the others, like foreign currency, just don't arise very often.
Right. So, but if we were to do this, then I think it would be to our advantage to do that.
Oh, yes, it would. And I suggested that if you are going to do these, that be the third one in line.
Right. What do you think then? This is probably an unfair question, but you know, you've asked me plenty of unfair questions over the years. So if we were to agree as a board that we think that's the best way to proceed, what chance do you think there is of your board agreeing to that approach based on what you've heard today? And you're going to tell me, well, there's three board members, I don't know who they are and what they think, but of those that are...
Unfortunately, you're right. I was going to take that. Of the ones that are there now, I think there's one that would like to go along with it. There are two that really want to do a narrower view, and I'm not sure how they would perceive this approach as opposed to a targeted approach. The fourth one might also, you might attract two of the four that we have now. And I'm reading their minds, okay? I can't speak for them. They did not make a decision. But my suggestion, what they wanted to do is talk with you face-to-face in the next joint meeting. And if you believe that the right approach is B on this list. Now, B and C, from your point of view, wouldn't be that different. But from theirs, it would be quite different. But if you think B is the right approach, then I think it would be appropriate to talk at the joint meeting and see if you can persuade them of that.
And this is the only difference then, Ron, between B and C. With C, US GAAP would retain all the detailed implementation.
That's right.
But the actual issues that are there, redeemable shares isn't in B, but could be in B.
Well, we call it puttable in B, but that would...
Oh, I see.
That includes what we call redeemable.
Right.
We just use sloppy draft.
You're handling the same issues, but
yes.
The other points that you mentioned afterwards. And what happens if you took B and then brought in the other points that you mentioned to be looked at as well?
Well, I think if you took B, the big difference would be all of the things that aren't listed here as things for the two boards to address. In C, those would be the only thing the U.S. changed and the only thing the ISB changed. In B, they'd still be the only thing the ISB changed, but the U.S. would change all the rest of its literature. I mean, that's what the difference is. I am concerned that even if we start down that path, the U.S. is still going to get pushed to keep some of this detailed guidance, which you probably aren't going to want to adopt. I think that's going to be the tension.
Is that the case on many things we're doing now?
Sure is. And my objective here was to achieve substantially the same results without necessarily having the same standard.
Okay, so we just go around. I've got PK, Elka, Wego, and Pat. PK?
Ron, I started with B, then I moved to C in your recommendations of the five alternatives. The reason behind is that I think either it is in paper 2 or paper 2A, which you just mentioned, one of the comments given by the 600-odd comments that we got was that you're deleting all this detailed guidance and you're putting the whole 0019 in two sentences, which I think is going to create a lot of practice issues in at least in one jurisdiction. So I can go with C, but my only comment is that if we go to C and we put all these items on agenda, will it, by coming to a conclusion, will it become an exception to the principle in 32, which then it becomes a bag of rules? So I'm just trying to understand that, you know, by going through C, the only weakness I have is that it will become another bag of rules, more and more exceptions, more and more to one gap or the other, and that is not an eminently suitable thing, and people will be criticized more. That's why there is a lot of appeal to go with B, because you will anchor yourself with one theory and then you go from there. But with C, that's the problem, is that you will have this bag of rules criticism.
Well, I'll try to respond to that in a couple of ways. One is that I don't think you would be in much different position between B and C. I think we can justify the change in fix for fix and convertibles under IS 32, given the principle that's there now. Yeah, I think you can. And I will explain that later, but I didn't want to get into that level of detail right now. And the puttables is an exception now, so you wouldn't be adding an exception there. You'd just be changing the exception.
So I have one, John.
Just give wrong thing.
Okay.
But you said there wouldn't be much difference. If we did that, there wouldn't be, because everybody would say we've got to look at all the detailed rules that are in the U.S. That's my concern.
Well, and that may be.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay.
I think PK has given all the reasons why I would turn to alternative B, because then we start from a platform in one way or the other, and we are probably not adding much exception to it, whereas in alternative C you might end with the same solution, but you're ending with a bunch of rules and you won't have anything to wrap around to make it a standard. The other thing is, and I think that's a bit going back, adoption in the US. Well, if there is need for more description and more examples around it, well, we have that in other areas too. So if we have at least got common ground in the principles, I would feel more comfortable with alternative B. And then if the U.S. needs some more explanation around it, why not? There are some instruments that are probably specific to this or that jurisdiction anyhow.
I've obviously not made alternative B very clear.
You dislike it.
What we intended was that, from your point of view, that it's the same as C.
Yeah.
Except that you do it all in one step instead of in a series of steps.
Yeah. That's what I would prefer.
Yeah.
And why would that be better? You're going to end up in exactly the same place unless you start over with the basic fundamentals of IS 32, which I'm not recommending you do.
Hang on, John.
I couldn't see the closure in C. You agreed. So that sounds to me like they are different.
Okay. In a sense, there's a difference, but it's not from your point of view. It's from the FASB.
Which is the 1, 2, 2.
whether you amend IS-32 and the U.S. adopts it, or whether we both amend our literature the same, you end up in the same place.
Sure.
It's us that does different.
Okay, we go.
Wait. Yeah, the explanations, you know, for us, B and C are very similar. But the major concern, if we take C, the people impression, you know, the future convergence process will be like this. And for U.S. side, people will say we cannot do so because just like the paragraph 8 mentioned, you know, we have so many detailed rules established by FSB, by SEC. You don't have, we cannot come to you. This is a major concern for the future.
Okay, so you're saying it would be different because the U.S. would have some things that it wouldn't have if it adopted IS-32.
That's a starting point.
And that is true, unless we added them back.
Are you asking, Wegu, that let's say we went for B-RON and we dealt with those issues, and then in comes all the issues about the U.S. having extra material.
Yeah.
What happens if we just had extra material and we didn't do that? How would that go down?
But it's saying...
Well, Ron was saying there's far more detailed guidance. You know, there's two lines, whereas the U.S. has a lot. But what happens if we stuck with our two lines and the U.S. simply said, fine, it's two lines plus for the U.S.?
For us, no problem, I think. For us, no problem.
Optimal, but it's their choice.
I would rather, in the situation you just described, if the U.S. says we want the rest, I'd want to know why. What is it that we're lacking that they need? And maybe in understanding that, we could have some improvement and get rid of that stuff.
That's a good point. Okay, let's keep going. Pat?
When I read the paper, I asked... Now, from what perspective are we...
Oh, sorry, I don't mind.
When I read the paper, I asked, from what perspective are we approaching this? If this was just an ISB project, then I think choice B makes a lot of sense. If you're trying to bring together two fairly comprehensive standards on liabilities and equity, my personal preference is I think we should start with a clean sheet of paper. To address the question in the context in which you framed it, Ron, I guess my answer would have to be a combination of A and C, as I told you in my response. But I wouldn't necessarily describe it as putting it in your terms. I think we need to address the criticisms that we heard in the fatal flaw review, which means we need to come to a clear definition of what constitutes equity. And I think we need to come to a decision on issues around bifurcation. I actually think that some of these issues can be solved with some compromises. I think it's inevitable that we may have to have an exception to one of our principles as we go down the path here. Obviously, we want to minimize them. But, you know, as you know, I've given you a blueprint for my view on how we can solve this. And I'm sure there's as many ideas around the table. And I actually think that we should try to find out how many of those ideas are on the same page and then put them forward. Because when you, I guess, frame the arguments in terms of narrow view of equity, amend 32, target improvements, everybody around the table has a different idea, I'm sure, in their head to how much work it's going to take. And I don't know whether or not, you know, we understand each other. So that's why I would prefer to start with a clean sheet of paper of these are the main elements of what we're planning to do. Then everybody's in agreement. And whether that happens to be more or less 32 today, or whether or not it happens to be more or less, you know, what we have in U.S. GAAP, fine, so be it. But let's start with a clean sheet of paper.
From the 1st of July 2011?
as the agenda permits.
So you're on the deep.
No, I wouldn't defer. I'd start the project.
Ron, isn't that what we tried
restart.
To do?
Exactly.
And we ended up in, what was it, E or something? I can't remember what
We have at least twice started with a clean sheet of paper.
Yes, I know.
And I don't. I'm not saying what you have is a bad idea. And philosophically, I don't object to it. I'm just saying, as a practical matter, I'm very skeptical that we will actually do anything very quickly that way.
How many more years do you have?
God for life.
Fewer if we take that approach, I suspect.
Well, I agree with you, Ron, but I don't think you're going to do it very quickly going down past.
And you may be right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, Philippe.
Thanks. Well, clearly alternatives A and E are out of the discussion. D, you don't want to discuss D. You think we should continue. We have met all the criteria for this being on the agenda, so you're not recommending to differ. So we are left with B and C, and as you clearly said, B and C will have about the same outcome for ISB in terms of improving our current standard. But they may have different outcomes in terms of U.S. convergence, and you seem to be not very convinced that alternative B will work from the U.S. perspective. And so implicitly, your recommendation is alternative C, because you think that's the way we need to go through if we want to obtain U.S. adherence to the project. So my preference could have been alternative B, because it seems to be more straightforward from our perspective, but if it is uncertain that will achieve convergence or a certain degree of convergence, then I'm forced to go to C.
Hey, Tatsumi, do you want to comment?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Chairman.
What's happening? I'm worried. You're staying
in a coach. No, my sincere, from my bottom of heart.
Thank you, Philippe. That's it.
Yeah. So, when I read the 2A, I'm persuaded with the reviewer's comments, and I remember that the history of how we reached the prevalent draft. That is, in order to entertain both boards, we discussed, and you try to reflect to both preference in prevalent draft. So as a result, I think there is no clear principles are there, and result of the proposal is to preserve current practice as much as possible, but how it is described is a totally different perspective, and it looks new and difficult to understand, but the result will be almost the same. And as you pointed out, I think that U.S. Preparers would like to preserve current detailed treatment. As long as I understand these ones, I can't see the bright future how to achieve, say, to satisfy both people. Say, we could take the alternative B, but it's okay with us. But obviously, the American preparers or people will not be satisfied or happy. So I think as a result, in a nutshell, I think we should stop the project right now, because we spend a lot of time, but as long as I can see, I can't see the bright future, to achieve the converged result or high quality solutions, I think. So in order to achieve so, the U.S. people must decide they should not have detailed standards, but I can't expect that would happen in the near future. And from our point of view, we should keep the exceptions or what shall we do? So I think that we are relatively happy with current 32. So, and alternative C, I think why we should focus on the small areas and leave other areas as open. So, unfortunately, I think it seems to me to keep carry on the project is a waste of resources. So, and I think that we should stop the project. That is my conclusion at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, board member. could I just ask again, Ron, just make sure I understand this. B and C, if you struck out and adopt the amended version in the United States, and B would be virtually the same.
From the ISP point of view, they would be pretty much identical.
And from the US, that would make closer convergence if we did that.
It would not be fully converged, no. But it would be much closer. Yes.
And the bits that were still to be done, you said earlier, was a lot of the detail. What was the other things?
Well, the two other things, and one of them was sort of an exception under the approach we've been using, and that was the mandatorily convertible preferred shares that convert into common shares. Those two are, that is different right now, and it would stay different. And the other one is the puts, where you gross it up and we don't. And you've just, before this session, gotten a discussion of why that's a bit problematic to gross them up. And we don't have that issue in the U.S. because we don't gross them up.
Well, but there'd be nothing stopping us dealing with those last two.
No, there wouldn't be. You could do those. I just would prefer let's not try to put everything on the plate at the same time.
Okay. Well, if you had a sort of proposal, let's say phase one, did the things that you're recommending in B and C without seeing the adoption, and then you could come to say, well, the only two differences now are forgetting the detail
mm-hmm.
of the other things, and then adopt John's suggestion, like, well, what detail must you have,
mm-hmm.
and let's see if we can't deal with it in some other way, then you could switch to B, after all that's been done, basically.
We could possibly do that, yes. Yes, we could.
So is that a way forward? We do a sort of C to start with, keeping in mind we've still three other areas to look at after that. If you really want to get them the same, but the conditions of doing the three is we try and get an adoption of 32 in the United States.
David, I have a question for Ron.
If we were to adopt your suggestion here, would that work, Ron, address what you've described in paper 2A with respect to the most significant and pervasive issue? Meaning,
look at my notes to remember what those are.
Lack of a classification principle and lack of a separation principle, would it address those issues?
If you stop with the I think that's kind of in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I didn't come here to criticize IAS 32, but those of you who are calling it principle-based should look at the definition of a financial liability in IAS 32 and tell me how the definition this long is nice and neat and principle-based.
What type? What happens when you have exceptions?
Yeah. So the answer you would say is probably not?
Probably not.
Yeah. And that's the problem I have with that approach that you outlined, David.
Well, but that could still be done in the sense that if let's say we did C, which would remove some of the differences between us, and then the question is now what we've got to do.
That's right.
We've got 32.
That's right. And I don't know what the FASB is going to say, but I think that if we took it that way, you could certainly attract support to get the first phase done.
And then we'll close it.
And then talk about the second phase later. But there is a risk, of course, that it would never happen.
Sure. But the standards would be closer together.
There would certainly be the reporting would be much closer.
Yeah.
The results in people's financial statements would be much closer. There'd be only a very few. Now, who knows if they're being applied consistently within the U.S. or within IFRS countries. But what we think people should be doing would be much closer.
Well, the big problem with B is it asks the U.S. to accept they're going to do 32.
Mm-hmm.
And you reckon that's probably just a step too far at the minute.
Well, I shouldn't speak for them,
no,
but I'm concerned that they will think that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Maybe we need to have the discussion with them.
You do.
If we may be asking them to go too far on our side, but if we do what you suggest, every bit of that detail
once we've done first phase, we'll be incorporated into first phase. They're going to analogize to that. I mean, that's the way firms answer questions now.
I thought you said that we should look at the detail and see if there wasn't anything we could do to 32 to alleviate a lot of that detail. I thought that
would that be before. Phase one or not? If that's phase one, I'm okay with it. If that's another project, I think we're done, and we're going to find that all that detail becomes ours. That's why I just think it cuts both ways. We're asking them to adopt our platform. That's too much to ask, but if we do it the other way, we're getting theirs.
Well, whether you really do it officially or not is what you're
right.
saying. Yeah.
So are you saying, maybe I'm misunderstanding then, if we did C, are we going to start importing by implication the detail in the States?
Well, when you do convertible debt, you wouldn't. Would not. Putable shares, there's very little detail on that. When you get to fix for fix, that's where you start importing the detail.
Yeah, but I thought we needed to because problems we've got with fix for fix
well,
anyway.
And I can make some suggestions on how you can import only one detail and fix a lot of your problems.
Yeah.
But and I don't know what the issues are. The big issues, the most detail that we have relate to when do I have enough shares to actually settle in shares? That's 0019. And that's a big deal. And
did we have a solution for that?
Which nobody in the U.S. believed would work. That we got more comments on that than we did on anything else from fatal flaw reviews, not just in the U.S., also from outside.
No one liked the answer.
Well, that's right. And that's where the detail is. And it may not really be as much detail as it looks like. I mean, we could certainly go into that and see how we could slim it down some, if that's possible. I don't know. But my suggestion with C was to do convertible debt, issue something, be done with that. You didn't pull anything significant in. Then do putable shares, issue something for that. And again, you haven't necessarily pulled in much detail. So it's only when you get to that third step that when you really start, and I'm probably overstating, there's probably some things I'm forgetting. There may be, but the big deal is with the fix for fixed.
How do you think the reaction of the U.S. constituents and ours would be if sort of drip, drip, drip changes? Would they not rather have a sort of bang?
I don't know the answer. I think philosophically they'd probably rather have it, but if you gave them the choice in this particular instance, not really sure. They might say it's the complexity argument. There's a good complexity and bad. Well, there may be good dribbling in and bad dribbling in. I don't know the answer to that, really.
They have 80 pieces of literature on the on this. I don't think adding one more to this list will not matter. Like, for example, the previous discussion I was having, it started in 2000, 006 started with that issue, and we ended up with 0705 and 0808.
Right.
So I don't think that's an issue. I think C is good because we are not going to import them because we are going to discuss it afresh and come to a mutually good answer. And I don't think John's comment, I don't know whether by implicitly we are going to import U.S. GAAP by C. I don't think so, at least on the first two issues that you mentioned.
Well,
they don't have much unputable and convertible that they are. APB 14 and 14A are a nightmare, so they're more than happy to change that.
We could do a little bit more work on figuring out just which things might be implicitly imported. I haven't addressed that question specifically and thought about it that way. I do think that the two boards, I'm now convinced that the two boards need to get together and talk about this, particularly if you're pushing towards B.
Well, B is obviously better for us. It makes it much easier.
Certainly.
C at least gets us closer together. Then the question is, then can we revert to B?
Or maybe, how do you get closure if you do C?
Yeah. Okay, I think we, just to check, does anybody believe we should do A, alternative A, which is the narrow view of equity?
I think that's phase two. I would go along with you. C is phase one. Phase two would be defining equity.
Okay, perhaps we'll go for A. What about E, which is continue working on the pre-ballot draft that got 600 comments in the United States?
You want to drop it?
I'm coming to yours. You're D.
You're Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so nobody's really going for E. D, Tatsumi? Big moment arrives. Okay. So...
You need to bracket then.
So we're left with B and C.
B and C, and we obviously have to discuss this with Fassi.
Okay.
Could we just have preference? I mean, in a way, it's hard for us to give a preference, because obviously we'd probably want to go for B. I mean, that's easier for us.
Can I vote?
Yeah. If you see.
If you're voting for me.
David, C is a package, right? Not a one-off.
Yeah, that's what we need to discuss that. I'm a bit concerned I'm dribbling out, Ron. Your people just might get fed up with constant change. Is that a way we ought to really leave this and discuss B and C with FASB? And how we're going to do C if we're going to do it that way? Is that okay, Ron?
That's fine. We will... If we can get on time on the agenda, we'll come back in October to discuss that.
Okay.
No, Tatsumi, you vote against that?
Thanks very much, Shane. Thanks for coming along.
You want it?
Well done, Ron.
Hopefully it's here, Ron.
Excellent presentation.
I actually think some of the work we'll do on C will help inform us with respect to what's equity, what's liability. So,
this whole thing's a compromise.
Okay, well, we'll have a break. We're not sure if Fasby's joining us, but we better sort of not do it before Fasby do join us. So we'll start again at quarter to 2, so it's half an hour break.
He works for Lehman, so he's definitely.
There's violent debate about
stay in accounting.
Both practices.
I'm still trying to figure out where my
By definition, attached to a hybrid, it has to be tier two. And I would also go so far as to say that any claim that company owners or obligation to buy claims from public owners is going to get tier two equity back. So puts derivative on companies instead of putting them as a liability, even though they may meet the definition of a liability. This might drive our former colleague, you know, apoplectic.
Okay.
We come to a compromise with tier two equity. And it would diffuse, in my opinion, so many issues in our world. Now, don't share value through P&L. And it's booked in at two, and it's basically changing.
I sent an email. That was with Chris Roberts, who just went in. I have a contact with him, but I have been in contact with Rose.
Right.
And she certainly knows what we've done.
What was John? What was John?
John was saying that they have a principle that the original 32 had the right answer.
Which was?
If they come in, then
coordinating decision first before you do class. Change that, and they're never going to go back.
I only think that John's correct if you adopt the parent company only approach. If you adopt the economic entity approach, then treating puts on equity as liability is not consistent.
And
so you have to qualify his answer. His
once they made that decision, it was such a firm.
And puts on equity are not liabilities, in my opinion.
Well, there shouldn't be any distinction between them.
So you said you.
But credit. If you take that decision from the compass to its logical conclusion, all the providers of capital exactly the same way. When I refer to the entity, the doesn't make it adequate.
Right.
It's only to the holders of those instruments that it makes a difference where they stand in the waterfall.
Right.
But from the entity's perspective, there is no liability. There is no exercise liability or purpose.
Right. Agreed. And that's kind of where I'm trying to go with this. I'm saying, look, there are instruments that have characteristics of all this and all this. They're kind of clear. It's where you blend characteristics of the two that aren't. And so instead of debating which bucket those should be in, let's just say separate them. And therein lies some judgment. You may have to get evaluation experts to say, it's this much of this and this much of that. Okay? But the key thing is that if you're disclosing that to the user, and they see that anytime you've issued a hybrid instrument, which has kind of a funky, twist to it, you're never going to get to report it as pure equity. That's the pre quo quo. And then, if you made it prospective, basically then you wouldn't have to go back and worry about all these other instruments.
Now I got a chance to explain myself. But I think that or square, as you said, with part of the second one.